would submit to you that some of the best and brightest minds from my agency, from the Washington Department of Transportation, from the City of Portland, from Metro, and from the other partners, and then the private sector folks that we have brought in to vet these issues, I think they have used the most current information to inform this discussion. We want to make sure we make the right decision. The opportunity for this bridge, as it's been articulated several times, is a once-in-a-lifetime. I think that's reflected on all the folks that are doing this job. The gravity, the sensitivities of what's being discussed here is not lost on anyone, whether you're on the private or the public side of this discussion. I don't think anyone wants to be ashamed of the work they've done associated with this bridge. So I guess I would, respectfully disagree with those folks that call the question on how the work was conducted. We're trying to inform with the best information we have to move a project that we can all support and be proud of.
Further questions? Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. It's a resolution. Please call the vote.
We have some slight amendments. If I could move those, we put some furthers and now therefores in places that we shouldn't have, and we misspelled the word minimum. And I wanted to put in explicitly investigate the option of tolling I-5.
Second. So
those are the amendments.
Second.
Call a vote on the amendment.
205. Sorry, 205. 205.
Okay. 205.
ID
4205.
No.
205.
Thank you.
Maps. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Let's call a vote on the resolution.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Shoshana Oppenheim and Tom Miller in my office, the good folks at PDOT, John, and Paul for their work on this, continuing work on this. I thought the testimony today was really good, and almost all the concerns expressed I certainly share. And we have, I think, I was looking for any concern expressed that wasn't memorialized in the exhibit or the resolution, and I think we've captured most of them. I want to specifically just sort of, for those of you watching on TV, just sort of speak to some of the issues, specific issues, the concern that rushing to approve. This does not approve the bridge. I said that at the beginning. I want to reiterate that at the close. This moves from one level of study to the next with some basic assumptions, and it moves forward the assumption that if a new bridge is built, it's built with no more through lanes than exist right now. The data is flawed, and we have to update it. The idea of a $4 billion investment for a 3% improvement is totally unacceptable. Unacceptable to me, I assume unacceptable to the City Council, and I'll talk in a second about how I think we can do better. This bridge has to be dynamic, and our work on 205 has to be dynamic so that we are not encouraging sprawl in the region on either side of the river. It has been studied to death, but it needs to be studied more. So I can appreciate the frustration of some that express that it's been studied to death, but it does need to be studied some more. And I do not consider those people that are expressing concerns to be expressing sort of knee-jerk reactions. The challenge before your transportation commissioner and the city government and everyone involved with this is to really change our thinking. We are so very used to, up to this point, of building transportation infrastructure and leaving it. This has got to be, we have got to change our thinking. This is really building a dynamic response to the crossing. And it's much more than bricks and mortar. It is about tolling. It is about operations. It is about congestion pricing. It is about managing our infrastructure in the most dynamic way that we possibly can, in a way we have never done before in Oregon. So it is new, and the bar is high. In terms of our leverage, I was reminded by the testimony that we stopped a freeway to Mount Hood and we stopped a Water Avenue ramp, both freeway proposals. And if this doesn't live up to its promise and this doesn't live up to our expectations, we can stop this as well. But I think the potential here exists. I think the raw materials here exist, the goodwill exists, to really make a bridge that we can be proud of on all the various levels. Aye.
I want to begin by thanking my colleague, Commissioner and Mayor-elect Sam Adams, for his leadership and his vision and his resolute insistence that the City of Portland will not relinquish our authority or our policy goals in this process. And I am convinced that he will continue to provide the leadership required to represent the needs of Portland as this complicated bi-state project moves forward. In the past weeks, I've spent many hours listening to all sides of this issue, poring over reports and articles and communications on the Columbia River Crossing project. After all the hours of testimony, briefings, and presentations on the CRC, the question before the council today is actually two narrow questions. Do we support replacing the I-5 bridge over the Columbia River? And do we support extending light rail to Vancouver? Now, this is the biggest public works project in our region's history. It involves two states and a long list of partners and stakeholders. The multi-million dollar planning process stretches back over a decade. Now, this project has aroused a lot of passion, of course, because it touches on so many core values of our city and our state. And they include protection of our environment, reducing greenhouse gases and implementing sustainable policies, promoting transit, bikes, and pedestrian policies to reduce the use of automobiles, and creating a sense of place about our community and rejecting old ideas of development and big highways. It's clear to me today that the City Council does not have definitive answers to a great many questions that have been raised about the future of this project. To me, the most important questions are, what is the local control that we will have on the design, financing, and contracting decisions for this project? How will Portland's goals of reducing use of automobiles be advanced in this project? What contingent financial obligations may we face? And how does this project impact on other transportation and transit priorities? Now, we have assurances from our congressional delegation and from our governor that the concerns and the policy goals of the city will be addressed in the development of this project. This may sound like a trust us approach, that ODOT and WSDOT will take care of us, except that we do have the right at a later date, I'm convinced, to reject this proposal, and I'm also convinced that this council will not hesitate to exercise that right. Now, we've heard from a number of very committed individuals raising a wide variety of legitimate issues. I'd like to highlight a few of my concerns that I believe need to be addressed as we go forward. They include the mitigation of the health, economic, and environmental impacts on the North and Northeast Portland neighborhoods, and the reintegration of communities that have been divided by I-5. The burdens of this project should not weigh disproportionately on those residents. Next, a strong commitment to employ local certified contractors and workers. The $4 billion project should be used to create local wealth and jobs. The use of minority, women, and emerging small businesses and contractors and apprentice programs is of fundamental importance to me. Third, the CRC project must be consistent with the city's historic and successful policies of promoting sustainability, reducing greenhouse gases, and improving water and air quality. And finally, under no circumstances can the City of Portland be on the hook for the financing of this project. Unless the City of Portland's legitimate concerns and policy goals are substantially addressed in the future phases of this project, I am prepared to join my colleagues in rejecting any final project. Mayor-elect Adams stated very succinctly in his what I thought was excellent op-ed piece in the Oregonian Today when he said, quote, "It must be the right kind of bridge." And that, in fact, is the only acceptable bridge to me. I've received almost 1,000 emails and messages since last week, and frankly, mostly they have urged me to reject this proposal. At this point, I am not prepared to reject this historic opportunity to replace this outdated bridge or to extend light rail to Vancouver. Some advocates have urged us to vote no, but to preserve our leverage in future implementation phases. Based on the assurances we have received from the governor and from the director of ODOT and our other partners, today I'm prepared to vote yes, but. While I believe we must move this project forward, the decisions made by the states, the departments of transportation, TriMet, and all other jurisdictions must be consistent with our community values and goals. I pledge to be vigilant with my colleagues in protecting those goals while building a green bridge to the future. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, it seems to me that the issue of replacing the bridge has been confused with a lot of debate that is important, but I think detracts from what has struck me as the core issue, and that is that on half of this structure, that is the southbound structure that was built in 1917, that's, by the way, just shy of 100 years old by 9 years, it rests on fir logs at the bottom of the Columbia River. As we sit here at 6:15 on a nice summer evening, I noticed there was a nice breeze outside, which reminds me that I've recently acquired a nice little sailboat that sits out on the Columbia. Now, if I went out on that sailboat and decided that I wanted to go downriver a ways, I'd call the bridge tender on my little VHF radio, my little 22-foot sailboat, and said, you know, I'm going to come through there. He'd stop traffic both ways, raise the bridge, I'd go through, have a great time. And when I was ready to come back, he'd do that for me again. That's quaint, but dangerous on a number of levels for the people on the interstate. And I happen to know that because I spent the last 5 years in my prior profession working at the fire station on Jansen Beach. A number of really horrible accidents happened in just exactly the circumstance I described. The bridge going up, people not paying attention to the abrupt halt of traffic, and either a trucker or a passenger vehicle plowing into a whole bunch of cars in front of them. So that's the problem, and we have to resolve that problem. The status quo is shockingly unacceptable, folks. It is irresponsible to suggest that the bridges that exist should stay, for not just those reasons that I've just given you a couple examples of, but many more as well. So the question for me has been right along, what type of bridge do you build to replace it? And I think I've been rather brief, considering the context of this debate, and what it is that I expect. And it's just simply that whatever bridge is constructed, and I have confidence in the groups that have been working on this. I've actually watched them on Channel 30 debate it a number of times, and once again admire Commissioner Adams' patience in sitting through what at times almost feels as has to be just mindlessly numbing meetings and with all due respect to all of your repeated testimony over and over and over, but still staying the course. To me, what it's come down to is we need to replace the bridge, but what do we replace it with? You have to replace it with something that's competent enough to handle the existing traffic and engineered in a way to reflect the 21st century, meaning that the on and off ramps that are going to be dedicated between Portland and Vancouver will be dedicated for that purpose, and through lanes, as Commissioner Adams has pointed out in his resolution, will be existing number of lanes. But you also have to recognize that the behavior of Washingtonians and Oregonians is changing as we speak in terms of transportation. The traffic isn't what it was a year ago because of the cost of gasoline and diesel. So we need light rail. That has to be part of the bridge. I've insisted from the beginning that that has to be a condition, has to have light rail. Secondly, it has to have adequate bike and pedestrian lines. I have, if most have noticed, refrained from insisting, what the bike lanes look like and what the pedestrian lanes look like and how big the light rail lanes have to be and how many light rail tracks there should be. I have a lot of faith in the people that are debating this, that that will come out in the flush. But those three things need to be there. And to the extent that I've been assured that they're going to be there, to the extent that this also, and I don't think we should minimize this, is going to create jobs. I mean, oftentimes I think most of us need to remember that what created really the United States that we know today was a president called Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who recognized the way you create wealth and the way you create a middle class and the way you create opportunities is to create jobs. You create jobs by doing public works projects. And he invented a number of public works projects, Timberline Lodge, for an example. This is not an invent. This is a need. This is something that has to be done anyway, and it also creates great jobs and wealth for working class people in our community. So for those reasons, and honestly, dozens more, this is a project that I can't imagine the circumstances under which should not happen. I cannot imagine what it would be that would cause me not to support this beyond those conditions, the three conditions I've listed, not being met. So I tip my hat to Commissioner Adams and all those that have been involved in working through this, what has been a really arduous process till now, and look forward to lending them my support until they begin construction on the new bridge. Bye.
Saltzman.
Well, I really want to thank everybody for the debate, the input, the thoughtful expressions of points of views that has occurred during this consideration by the council, and I know other governing bodies have considered this and will consider this as well, but this has certainly been one of the most thoughtful debates I think I've ever had a chance to participate in. And I think that there are certainly things that concern me about this project, perhaps the cost being the most, and I'll come back to that. But I also do believe that this debate has been healthy. It's been healthy for Portland. It's been healthy for our region. It certainly, I think, has helped to establish more bonds and dialogue with Clark County, Vancouver, Washington State. And, when we talk about issues of sustainability, carbon footprints, we really do have to look beyond the Columbia River. I mean, these are issues that require national solutions first, regional solutions, and then local solutions. They're all necessary. And I think that that's something that, I'm looking at here. I think my goals for this project are fairly straightforward. I want to see light rail extended to Vancouver. I think this will really assist in our efforts to profoundly reduce our carbon footprint. And I think that's one area that's kind of been neglected in this. We talk about all the traffic, perhaps, and there will be traffic, but the light rail connection is going to be something you have to give people an alternative. You can't just talk about getting them out of their cars if they have no other way to get to work. So that is, first and foremost, my condition. And Commissioner Adams has put a lot of conditions in here that are good ones. It should have, as Commissioner Leonard said, certainly enhanced bicycle and pedestrian access. The project should increase the ability to transport freight, but also decrease overall vehicle miles traveled. And it should incorporate renewable energy sources. And I'm encouraged that both wind and solar options are being looked at in the design guidelines. So I think that we can get to a better project by starting with this locally preferred alternative. I think that, as I said, the debate's been a good one. But I also want to, associate myself with the remarks Commissioner Leonard just said. It's my understanding that this will create an estimated 6,000 to 9,000 jobs a year, prevailing wage jobs. And we need those jobs, and we need to keep the skilled workforce that has done a lot of work on other projects in Oregon as a result of the Oregon Transportation Enhancement Act. We need to have something in the pipeline that is going to provide places for those jobs to stay in this region and for people to earn family wages. So as I said, the price tag to me is overwhelming, $4.2 billion. That's at least a B-1 bomber.
Not that high.
Not that high. And I clearly think it's an aspirational figure. It is an aspirational budget, but all I can say is if we were to have locked down ahead of time the financing for every transportation project this region has undertaken, we would never have, we would never abandoned the Mount Hood Freeway and built light rail instead. That was a stretch at the time. Who thought the federal government would really support something like that? All of our streetcar efforts have always been, let's build the line and we'll figure out the financing by the time we're done. And you have to start. I mean, we're part of a federal dance of legislation, and you got to get in that line, and you got to get in that process if you have any hope of getting a substantial federal funding. And as I say, it's still a stretch, but you've got to get in line. And I think we are at an opportunity where our Washington delegation and our Oregon delegation, Senator Patty Murray, Representative Brian Baird, Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Congressman Peter DePazio, are as well positioned from Oregon and Washington's point of view, since the era of Senator Hatfield. So, we need to undertake this, and I have concerns, and I think we very well articulated the concerns we have as a council in this three or four page list of conditions to this resolution. But I do believe it is appropriate now for us to take the next step, and it's certainly not the last step. And there will be more opportunities for us to review and weigh into this thing as it progresses. So I want to thank Commissioner Adams for his leadership. I also want to thank Metro Councilor Rex Burkholder. I think he's been a real leader in this too, and I'm pleased to put my trust in both of them to make sure that this becomes a bridge and light rail project that we can all be proud of. And I vote aye.
Potter.
Well, this has been one of the more interesting days I've had as a mayor. We've had some really interesting discussion. I think much of it has been good. It certainly enlightened me in terms of some of the remaining issues. I think that the council speaks with one voice as to what we want to see on a bridge, what that bridge will look like, how much it will cost, how it will be paid for, is all up in the air. And that does concern me. It's like we're stepping off and not sure exactly where we're going to land. So I'm very concerned about a lot of issues regarding this bridge. And I think that it's really incumbent upon this city council to track very closely what happens from this point forward and to support Commissioner Adams in terms of trying to ensure that the voice of Portlanders are heard very clearly, and that we do build a bridge that does meet the needs and resolves the problems that are inherent in the current bridge. The last thing in the world that I want to see is another bridge built on sand with wooden pilings. And so I want to make sure that as we move forward, that our bridge is strong, that it's well thought out, that it truly is going to last for the rest of this century and meet the needs of a country whose dependence upon oil is going to be first reduced and then eliminated. And what does that mean for us, and how do we contend with that? So since this may be one of my last votes on this issue before I leave office, I want to support the work that has been started, but I also want to urge caution. I want to urge people willing to step back and take another look. And if it doesn't fit us, then we shouldn't buy it. So congratulations, Commissioner Adams, and thank you for your leadership. And I wish for the best for this project, and I vote aye. Recessed until 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations. There'll be a lot more meetings.
Yeah.